Lord. It will be in July. It will be 17 years that I've been married to Billy. And I just have to reiterate again what Terry said. It's such a privilege to be a part of the work down there. I wouldn't change it for anybody that offered me anything different, a different life. I would not change it. I love Mexico. I'm not even like Billy. I love everything about Mexico. I feel a little out of place here, actually, to tell you the truth. I love Mexico, and I love the work down there, and I'm just so thankful that the Lord has given me the opportunity to be a part of all this. And just even, I don't think you even grasped when the brother got up here the other night when he was trying to express what he felt. It's just an incredible thing. All the hundreds and hundreds of souls that are down there that just wish they could come up here and tell you in person how much they appreciate this church and all you've done, and it's just been a blessing to be a part of it. I also had a privilege of being a part of a women's conference that we had last September, and it was just something we kind of all organized, and it was a three-day kind of retreat thing, and all bunch of women, probably about 200 women or so, got to come out of all the churches, and they ranged from 16-year-olds to 60-year-olds, and it was just a real neat time. The Lord really blessed us, and that was exciting. I want to share a verse in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." And I was talking to Dara the other day, and she was telling me about how she's going maybe to keep studying to get a counselor's degree or something. And I think that's great. I think she should go for it because I think she's a great counselor. But I was just thinking about all the stuff that I have to do down in Mexico. I feel like I have become a full-fledged counselor, just gratis, you know, free of charge, just hands-on experience. It's kind of strange, the things you have to deal with. And I feel that this verse comes into play almost on a daily basis in my life. Someone's calling up and they're either in need of comfort or they're in need of some edification, some exhortation. And it's an interesting thing. I had never really thought about it till I got to be down on the mission field. I didn't have that much opportunity to comfort or to edify anybody, but you'd think that comfort would be an easy thing to do. But let me tell you, comfort is not to give. When you're thinking about the verse that says weep with those that weep, you know, we're not talking about just a pat on the back and okay, you're going to be better tomorrow. Weep with those that weep. When you're looking at a sister who's just lost her little six-year-old boy because the doctors found out that he had brain cancer too late, and she's weeping over his little body there, and comfort her in that situation. Or sisters call all the time, and their husbands are, you know, they're this or they're that, and they're, one is a drunkard in our congregation right now. I mean, he's not part of the congregation right now, but he is just constantly taking the money and leaves her high and dry. He has actually literally left high and dry now. He's been gone for 3 months, and she's ironing, taking an ironing, and doing all sorts of little tasks just to get by for her family and her two little kids, hopefully just to make it. And these things require comfort. And sometimes we feel inadequate, but there is a verse in 2 Corinthians 1:3 that says, God is the God of all comfort, our God. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation." And that is, you know, the only way that with God's grace we can give them any kind of comfort at all. It's tough. And sometimes even we feel, or at least I do, feel like we need comfort. You know, we're always giving comfort, but I just want to let you know on a personal note, it's been a rough year. We have, we've lost two different pastors, two different of our main churches who have just totally, they're not part of the work anymore. And these were men that we love, that they've been part of the work for more than 15 years, and it's hard to see that when that happened. But we have to comfort one another. That's why it says here, comfort one another. I know it's hurt all the brothers and sisters down here just as hurt, as deeply as it hurts us. And so we have to comfort one another, brothers and sisters. there's also times when it seems like someone may be looking for comfort, but it's actually pity. And this is where you have to psychologically or whatever have that counseling degree. And Bill's taught me real good in this area. And this isn't a put down, but you know, he won't just, you know, feel sorry for anybody. You know, you've got to really analyze the situation and know if somebody needs comfort. Because it can truly be more damaging than helpful if you give comfort to somebody when they really need edification. And that can be young adults who are still trying to put all the blame on their parents.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Or maybe it's a woman whose husband won't wash the dishes. What I'm saying is, people will try to get comfort out of things that, when you've seen some true heartbreaking cases, some of these things just don't compare for some of the things that these people want comfort for. And by the way, when I really think about that, that's not a lack of compassion that you don't feel sorry for someone in a case that's really not worth feeling sorry for. That's an act of love. Because if you are going to, like I said, give pity where it's not really required, that's more damage than help. So in this situation in the work, comfort is not always an easy thing to give. Then there's the admonishing side, and that's even harder, I think. Sometimes with missionary wives, we have to, go up to someone and say, sister. And I know that may sound like it's easy, but believe me, it is not. It is that you're putting your whatever, friendship or whatever, on the line with them to say, hey, you need to straighten up. And that's not an easy thing to do. I have this wonderful sister, a Mexican sister in the church there in Morelia right now. I wish y'all could meet her. She's incredible. Her name is Yvonne. And she has two little boys. One's 3 and a half and one's 2. And she goes everywhere with these two little boys. Her husband isn't saved. She comes to both the meetings on Sunday and Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And aside from that, she comes to Monday night knocking on doors and Tuesday night prayer meeting with these two little boys on two different buses both ways. This woman is incredible. She's very, just a 2 or 3 years old in the Lord, but she's incredible. But even with her, she will tell me some things like, well, I just don't understand why my husband resists the gospel. You know, he's sitting there and he's playing his worldly music and I will pray right in front of him, to the Lord, for the Lord to help him, rebuke him for his ways. And I tell him about how he's on the road to hell and that he needs to be saved. And I'm serious. She'll tell me these things. And that is when I have to say, well, sister, if you're just being submissive, like the Bible says, he can be won without a word. I don't mean without the word, but he can be won without a word, without you constantly nagging him. And so you have to instruct them in these things because they just don't have any idea. And this is not always an easy thing to do. a lot of times we think exhorting someone is also maybe a waste of time or not worth it, at least I do, again, with that same type of situation where you have to put yourself on the line or your whatever. But somehow I think it's worth it, even though it's hard for me to go up to a sister and tell her, I can see that she's struggling. Bless her heart. She's struggling there, trying to sit comfortably. She can't sit comfortably
because you're hurt.
I have to do this a lot down there. And I know probably a lot of people right now would be saying, don't go there. This is not a situation that you want to bring up. But I want us to turn to Titus 2 really quick.
Amen.
In Titus 2, verse 3, says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false teachers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And this is why it's worth it, and this is why it's my responsibility even to say it right now, because it says, I am an aged woman, okay? You can see it right here. Says the aged women, it is our responsibility to teach the younger women. They don't like it. I know I was there once too, but it's still my responsibility as an aged woman to teach the younger women. And also, if you think maybe that I'm even prudish for bringing up a short skirt situation, well, you just go home tonight and maybe look up the words discreet and chaste, because I wasn't really sure what they meant either exactly, but come to find out they mean prudence, which means carefulness, decent, modest.
Amen.
So I'm supposed to be teaching younger women to be decent, modest, and careful about how they dress. Yes, about how they dress. And this is not an easy thing, and I'm not acting like I go around doing it all the time because it is difficult. But it is a responsibility I have, and yes, that you have out there, sis, too. If you're an older sister, you have the same responsibility. Sometimes people need comfort, and sometimes people need edification. It's all in love, and as long as you do it all in love, it can all work for the glory of God, and He can use us all to comfort each other and to edify one another. Praise the Lord. Amen.